Before we turn to Matthew 11, Ryan's father fell this morning, not doing well. Ryan's with him. I want to pray for them. Father, you are a rock, our Redeemer, our strength in time of need, and we're always in need. Just what that need is varies. I pray for your grace upon Ryan to be there for his mother and father, to know what to do, how to help. And for Ryan's father, Lord, that you would restore him, grant him to recover and to look to you in the midst of this. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever been anxious? Anyone here not ever been anxious? Anyone here never known anxiety? And even the word anxious or anxiety kind of puts you on edge. Right? Here's the question. What were you anxious about? Because there's two types of anxiety, or anxiety can be referring to two different things. If you know what you were anxious about, the test tomorrow, the job, the presentation, something with a relationship, what is the doctor going to say? Where are you going to live? You need a job? When you know what you're anxious about, that's fear of the known. Fear of something you know about that you can't control. And so you think tossing on your bed and thinking about it all night long and fretting about it all day long is somehow going to control it or affect it, but it doesn't. That's worry. It's worry about the known, fear of the known. That's what Jesus addresses in Matthew chapter 6. Do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, where you will live, what you will drive, what the doctor says, how the presentation will go, how you'll do on your exam, what the mechanic will say about your car. Do not worry about that. That's what Jesus is talking about, fear of the known. He says, don't fear the unknown. That right there makes such anxiety or that type of fear sin. And you're like, okay, I'm worried about this. That's sin. That's a lack of faith. I'm not trusting you. You lay it at his feet. But what about when you're anxious? You're not sure what about. That's fear of an unknown something or other. You're restless. Your soul does not have rest. What's going on there? Can't put a finger on it. It's not something you know about. It's something you don't know about, apparently. That's another type of anxiety. Scripture addresses that too. Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 42. If you have a bulletin, a flyer, a worship sheet, I don't know, whatever you want to call this, on the back is an outline. The value in that are the verses that I'm going to be referring to so that you can look them up later. You have the great privilege and responsibility of having God's Word available to you in an excellent translation in your language. And so it is your duty to always examine the Scriptures to see what the talking head up front was saying and whether or not it's really founded in the Scripture, so that it is God's wisdom and not man's. So there are a bunch of Scripture passages that I will not go to, but I will refer. They're there for you. You don't have to jot them down. You can look at them later. There's more that line up with these. But in the Psalms, we have a recognition of bones rotting, sweating and tossing and turning on your bed, downcast soul. What's going on? When I did not confess my sins, my bones rotted within me. There's a lack of soul rest. And you either have that soul unrest for one of two reasons. You either don't have peace with God. You're not right with God. You've never trusted in His Son Jesus. Your faith is not in God's provision through Jesus, but yourself. And so you do not have peace with God. Do you ever have a, has there ever been a time when you've not had peace with someone in your home? Anyone ever had that? Oh, let me ask it a different way. Anyone not ever experienced a lack of peace relationally with someone in the home? No hands go up. That's right. What's that like? Oh, it ain't fun, is it? It can be nauseating, stomach turning, uncomfortable. It can have you in tears, all kinds of things. Because you're not right with someone that you need to be right with. Well, that's nothing compared to not being right with the one who made you. The one to whom you will answer and give an account for every word and deed and thought. Unless someone else gives an account for you. That's Jesus. He became sin, though He Himself knew no sin. He became sin for His people that through Him they would become the righteousness of God. Through Jesus, there is peace with God. We see that in Romans 5 and Ephesians 2. And Jesus talks about this. This is the one passage I want you to listen to. I'm going to read. Or you can look to in your own Bibles. But in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Those who have not come to Jesus cannot have soul rest. Whether they're worried about something they know about or just worried and anxious in general, they're not going to have soul rest. They're not going to have a still soul and peace with God. They can't because they don't have that peace with God. It's only through Jesus. That's what is going on there in verse 28. Peace with God. You get rest when you come to Jesus. Talking about salvation, becoming a Christian. If you're a Christian, if your faith is in Jesus and Him alone, because of what He accomplished, His obedience, His death, His resurrection, then you have peace with God. You are right with God. You stand before Him counted righteous, justified, because of Jesus. And nothing can ever change that. But even if you've come to Jesus, even if you're a Christian, you can lack the peace of God. The peace of God. Philippians 4, Colossians 3 talk about the peace of God. But here in our passage, verse 29, Jesus goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Now He's talking to those who have come to Him. If you come to Him, you get rest for your soul. As it says in the Gospel of John, just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so Jesus has been lifted up. And the Israelites looked upon that serpent on the staff, and they were healed from the serpent bites. And when we look to Jesus, we are pardoned. We are forgiven for the shaking of our fist at Him, our rebellion against Him. And we are right with God. We have peace with God. We have rest between God. We're not at enmity. We're not at war. We're not enemies. We're His children. Brothers and sisters with Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And we come to Him. When you come to Him, you are then to learn from Him. To be like Him. Not to be like him, that you may have peace with God. Not be like him, so that you might come to him. Not be like him, so that you can have soul rest. But be like him, because in him you have soul rest. You have peace with God. You're to be like him, learn from him, gentle, humble. And when you do that, you find rest for your souls. Verse 28, you come to him and you are given rest. When you come to him, when you're a Christian and you walk with him, when you live Christ, you find rest for your souls. You experience and know the peace of God. Again, this comes up in the Psalm, but Philippians, Colossians, very specifically. What we're talking about in that second verse, verse 29, the big word is sanctification. The process, the ongoing activity of exerting yourself to live the Christ you've come to know. Ephesians chapter 4. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 from this morning. Based upon, in view of the mercies, the compassion of God, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. They all knew what sacrifices were, whether they were Jewish or Gentile. You take the animal, you kill it, there's a sacrifice. Oh, but in Christ, we're a living sacrifice. And as someone once said, the problem with living sacrifice, it keeps crawling off the altar. It tries to run away. Yes, we do, don't we? And as we run from God by not walking in what He has called us to, walking in His wisdom, in His ways, we walk in our own. And by His grace, He does not allow His peace to be upon us. The lack of the peace of God when walking in disobedience is His grace. Just as a loving parent will not allow things to be fine and well with a rebellious child. You still love them, and your arms are open. But there's something they must deal with, something they must reckon with. And when we are not, we have no rest for our souls. If you go and look at Philippians and Colossians later on, we are given very specific things as Christians to do or to walk in. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks in all circumstances. And the peace of God will. When there's that unknown thing that is apparently causing us worry, anxiety, unrestfulness, we need to look to what God has to say in His Word for us as someone who has come to Christ and ask, am I walking with His yoke? Am I living out what He'd have me to live out? And you will say, oh, but I've been doing all that. And yet I still have anxiety. A lack of rest from my soul. Well, the second we say we've been doing all that, and we're sure there's no unconfessed sin in our lives, and we've been seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, which is what Jesus says in chapter 6, when He addresses anxiety, fear of the known, what you'll wear, what you'll drink, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. When you consider whether or not you are walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, can we ever come up and say, oh, I'm doing it all? And even if we are, that question begs a different question. The question of, I'm doing it all, I'm good to go, no unconfessed sin, walking in obedience, but I still lack peace, Soul rest. Why? That begs a different question when couched that way. What is it you really want? What do you really want? Is it the absence of discomfort, or the presence of God? What do you really want? Do you really want to be right with that person in your household because you want that relationship? Or do you just want the uncomfortableness in the home gone? Do you want the absence of discomfort, difficulties, trials, or do you want the presence of God? Because the presence of God is to be had and known, not in the absence of difficulties, but in the midst of them. In the midst of them. Philippians 4:13, I count everything as trash, garbage, refuge, sewage, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, my Lord. Chapter 3, chapter 4, I can do all things. I can face any circumstances. I can be in the midst of the greatest discomfort or the greatest luxury in Christ, who is my strength. We're honest. We default to wanting the absence of the problems, the difficulty, the trial, the discomfort, more than we want the presence of God. That was my struggle for the past 2 years. With the various things that went on in my family life and the death of my father and all the work related to that and the burning down of our house, what was my constant struggle? What do I want more? That's what it boils down to. What do I want more? The presence of God, to have the peace of God upon me? Or do I want the removal of the problems and the difficulties? Psalm 42, which has in it talking to your own soul, why are you downcast, preaching the truth to your own soul, also starts out this way, which is related exactly to the question of what do we actually want? What is it we're after? As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for, you gotta fill in the blank, the removal of this problem, healing, fix, restoration, or so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Through Jesus, we can come to God. We can have peace with God. And through following Jesus, we can know the peace of God. When the peace is gone, when the rest is nowhere to be found, we need to ask, am I pursuing Christ? Or am I pursuing the removal of difficulties? Why am I anxious? What's going on? What am I thirsting for? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I confess fully my struggle over the past trials and difficulties, that it was a battle, and I went back and forth. I thirsted and hungered for just getting the workload done and out of the way, more than for your presence and your peace at times, sometimes more often than others. Thank you for carrying me. Thank you for your mercy and compassion, your patience. Father, thank you indeed for your word that is the scalpel for our souls, that does the open heart surgery we need. Father, I pray that you would grant to each one here whatever soul rest, whatever peace is needed right now. If there has never been a coming to Jesus, grant it. If there's never been a throwing of oneself at His feet and receiving your gift of forgiveness and life in Him by your kindness through faith in Jesus, Father, grant that. For those who have come to know you, the living God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, if there is a lack of soul rest for some unknown reason, Father, make that reason known. Whether there be overt sin and rebellion, or the sin of omission, as it's called, just failure to do what is wise and right and true and good and pleasing in your eyes. Whether it is the sin of zeal for that which passes away, or lack of zeal for you and your kingdom and your righteousness, Father, reveal, convict, comfort, strengthen and spur on, that by the work of your Spirit we would carry that light yoke, that we would live Christ, having come to know Him as our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.